I just wanted to say, I've been listening in on some of the services, and so, and you have some wonderful speakers that are all inspirational, and this is just me telling you what I do, so just bear with me. So I had, wanted to start with a reading. It's kind of long, but I'm just going to read it. But it's from a book called Soul Work of Clay by Marjorie Zoet Bankson, and it just really speaks to me, and this is the way I think about clay. So she writes, I am being formed by the clay. I am reconnecting to the earth and with other basic elements too, air, water, and fire, and life itself. Working with clay is so tactile and tangible, so immediate. Every gesture leaves its trail in the clay, every fingerprint a message. My breath feels the cavity, my touch curves the wall of the bowl, and inwardly I am being formed by the outward practice. I am learning to trust the process, to lean into the possibilities rather than to strive for some predetermined goal. I am being hollowed out, stretched and constricted, trimmed and sometimes reworked entirely. And then later in the book, she goes on to say, we are indeed creatures of the earth and creators of possibilities. Working with clay is a way to get our hands dirty and our minds clear, to reclaim an elemental sense of connection with the earth itself, to bring us home to our bodies, to express our soul's longing for life, to reclaim the sacred act of creation as essential to our wholeness. This is the soul work of clay. So I'm going to talk about clay a little bit more. It's such a different material that can change. It can be soft and pliable and messy, and it can be, you know, hard slabs that you stick together like a construction worker. I mean, and everywhere in between. So it's just an amazing material. And working with it is a very intimate act. You're forming something out of nothing, and you have to be centered. You have to be completely focused on the center of the wheel in order to make anything. So it's just a very delicious process. So anyhow, I wanted to tell you, first, a little bit about the history of the flaming chalice. I mean, I'm a potter, and I'm much more involved in the, making of things. But I'm no expert on the flaming chalice. I basically got this information off the website. So if you go to the UUA website and type in flaming chalice, there are a bunch of articles and much more detailed history of it. The thing that I love about our symbol is that its birth, the actual creation of the symbol, was an act of social activism, that it was a little bit rebellious, a little bit illegal, but, you know, it got people out of bad situations and into opportunity in the United States. So as the story goes, in 1940, the Unitarian Service Committee was just formed, and they had offices in various countries, and obviously the world was entering into World War II. And there was a particular guy, Reverend Charles Joy, who ran the Unitarian Service Committee in Lisbon. And at that point in time, all the other ports leaving Europe were all closed down or highly scrutinized, except for Lisbon. So this Dr. Joy, he commissioned he was doing travel papers for people, getting them out of the country, falsifying documents, basically making documents look official that weren't official, but in order to get travel documents stamped with a seal so that they could get on a boat and get out of Dodge and get away from the horrific things that were happening in Europe. So Dr. Joy commissioned an artist to create the symbol. There's a whole lot of more information about that artist and what he did. He was a political cartoonist that did things that criticized Hitler. And so there's a whole interesting story that you can read too. But basically he came up with this symbol of the flaming chalice, and then they made a stamp out of it. And then they would stamp these papers so that people could have official looking documents when they escaped Europe. After that time, after World War II ended and they didn't need the travel documents anymore, that symbol wasn't used anymore until 1976, when it appeared on a UUA a directory of all UUAs. So that was the first somebody, found that symbol and used it. And then it has become our symbol. And it's only really been lit before chalice, before services and things like that for the past 30 years or so. So that's as much as I'm going to say about the history. Go to the UUA website. You can read it. It's fascinating. There's a little book about it for children. I mean, there's a lot of people have written and sort of made up what the symbolism is, the chalice including things, and it's on a pedestal, so it's enlightened and all that. But at this point, I just love that it came out of social activism and it was putting our beliefs into action, and we're still using it today. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about me now and making chalices and stuff. I did have this career in high tech, and it was very high tech. It was involved back in the 80s. I went to IBM in 1978 and then got involved in computer graphics and artificial intelligence. So it was really selling very high-end stuff. But while I was doing that, so I joined Northlake UU in 1993 when I was pregnant. I was, an older mother, and I wasn't married yet. And I went to the UU church in Kirkland that was in an old house before we moved to a new building. And during that service, because I've always been a seeker, I've tried lots of different things. I was raised Catholic, but, I just something about it, what I heard about it, I went there to the service. And during that service, my boy quickened. So I had that experience of the flutter of knowing that there was a live being inside of my body. And joys and concerns came up. And I had never seen a church do this before. And I got up and shared that I had quickened, that my boy had quickened. And it was really meaningful to me. Really, really. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. So anyhow, it just shows that... being a UU, I started doing clay right when I got my son off the boob. So it was about 6 months later, and I took my first clay class. And that kind of evolved then as I learned how to make chalices. But so they've always been connected in my mind, making chalices and being a UU and having and joining that church, I joined the choir, and I was very involved in the choir, and that's how I know about Linda Culler. Her brother is the choir director at Northlake, was a long time ago. And so I didn't meet Linda then. I met her after I moved to San Juan Island, and then we were introduced. But one of the things I noticed is that there was just a dearth of chalices around the building. I mean, they were like flower pots turned upside down and, candy dishes glued together and, just like these strange chalices. And so I was learning clay and it seemed really advanced to me, but I asked my teacher how to do it. And he showed me. And I finally really learned how to make chalices. And it's tricky because it's kind of like two bowls stick together. It's hollow on the bottom. And it's hollow on the top. So how do you do that? So there's a trick to it. And so I started making them and I worked for months and I made these small, These little chalices. They were just they were as big as I could make. I couldn't handle more clay. I wasn't very good yet, but I called them personal chalices. They were like personal watermelons. That's how I named them, personal chalices, because they were like little wee chalices. And so I made 100 of those, and took them to a district meeting in Tacoma, and I was sold out by lunchtime. They were gone. And then I had a line of people waiting to order them, or when was I going to make more? And then people wanted to order cases of them to give them to their students and stuff. So that's what birthed it. I just started making chalices. And then I got into the business stuff and to make a website and start making different kinds. So I'm going to share my screen and just show you some of the chalices and just hold on a second. Okay, good. Now I'm going to see if I can make this full screen. Good. Okay, so this is just, I make all kinds of chalices now. I started going, once I made I only made the little ones for several years. And then I started, I got better and I started making larger ones. And just as my skill grew, the chalices grew. And now I have a whole line of them. I do all different kinds. I started going to the General Assembly, which is the National Unitarian Convention. If you ever have a chance to go to that, it's amazing. There's all kinds of breakout sessions and just, you know, 5,000 UUs together doing worship together, singing together. It's amazing. And they have a big vendor area where people are selling stoles and, you know, different things, all kinds of things. And so I started selling my chalices there, and they were a big hit. I did that for 5 years. It was a pain in the butt because I had to make them all, then pack them all and ship them all, rent a van when I got to whatever city I was in, rent all the stuff for the booth, get it all set up. I mean, it was a big deal. And I basically just broke even. It cost me about $5,000 for all the stuff to do the show, and I made about $5,000. So it was really, I wasn't making a lot of money on it, but I got my name on the map. And now I don't do GAs at all. I don't do any advertising at all. I just get the orders. They just come in because people know and have passed my name around and stuff. I don't want any more work. I make plenty of chalices. You can see, I just fill my kiln. I mean, I have so many pictures of just acres of chalices waiting to be glazed, but I figure I didn't need to bore you with that. This is my mentor, Ragnar, and this was pretty early on when I started. So it was like in the late 90s. And so he taught me everything about clay, and I just love him to death. His name is Ragnar. He's from Ballard. We're from Norway, born in Norway, north of the Arctic Circle was how he always described it. So really, really a cool guy, very cool. He's gone now. That's why I speak of him that way. Anyhow, this is what I started with, these little personal chalices. They're 3.5 inches tall. They're small enough that you can fit in a briefcase or a purse. You can take it to start meetings with. You can do it at home. I did sell them individually, but what really happened was that churches started ordering cases of them. And so I gave them like a 30% discount so that it was affordable, so they could either resell them and make a little profit as a fundraiser, or they bought them cheap enough that they could just have them. I have lots of ministers who just keep them in their closet, and then they give them out if somebody does a great job on a committee assignment, or they have bridging when the kids move up from RE and they're joining the adult church, or they have the opportunity to do that. So they can, and coming of age, I mean, lots of reasons why people, I love that kids, that the young people get them to go off to college or in their bedrooms or whatever. I do work for UUA now. And I make a couple of years ago, they're not doing it now, but they made these little boxes up for college. If you were a college student and you wanted to take the lead to allow your college friends at your dorm know about UU, they would send you this little box with one of my chalices, a little battery tea light, some chalice lightings, and just a little kit that they could do a little service in their dorm room. And so I've done lots of things over the years for UUA. They definitely call me when they need any kind of special awards and things like that. Okay, let me get on with it. Okay, I started out just, so I spray glazes. So like as fancy as I got was spraying two kinds of glaze on the same thing so that it would blend. And so I did this for years, different colors, two-toned. I started carving, and I really like the way carving shows off the glaze. And so I spent years, that was my claim to fame, was my carved chalices. But now I have to wear a splint on my hand, my thumb's all messed up. So it's getting harder and harder to carve. So I've had to look for some other ways to fancy them up. So this is a very popular design. I call it community. It's carved, and it's just people, you know, arm in arm around the flame. And I love this. I've done this in many different ways. So just more carving, carving, carving. These are just sort of what I had around because, yeah, this is, okay, this was just a wire brush I brushed the clay and then rubbed black underglaze into it and then wipe it off like with one of those magic erasers. And so it takes off the pigment except what was down in the scratchy marks. So, and then you can put any color on it. So just, you know, I just do whatever I feel like doing and people buy them. I've always said that it's kind of like Harry Potter, where they have the wands, and if you're a fan, you know that when you go to Diagon Alley and you go to get your wand, you don't pick the wand picks you. And you just have to go in there and the wands start vibrating and you sort of get near them, and then one of them will hop into your pocket or something. So I make all different kinds of chalices, and people find the one that's perfect for them. It's very interesting. When I used to do GAs and I had like 100 chalices sitting out, and to see people's process as they looked carefully at each one up and down the rows and to find the one that spoke to them, you know? So anyhow, when I couldn't, start having trouble carving, I looked for other ways to get texture. And so this is a slip. So it was a perfectly formed chalice first. And then I get big globs of a wet slip, like a gel, and just kind of spread it around and let it dry like that. And then the glaze will do different things where it's higher and lower. So that's all that. This is called a Shino glaze. Then after that, I started playing around. Just glazes are what's really attracts me in general, glaze chemistry. I have a biochemistry degree undergrad. And so I love chemistry. I love lab work. So I'm just so happy to do glaze testing where I'll just make these little pieces of clay that are bisque fired. And then you can test all these different glazes, try increasing and decreasing things, checking out how it changes. So I'm really much more into the glaze chemistry. And so the chalices are all the same, basically the same shape and size. And then I do different things with the glaze and to have some activity and texture and stuff. So this is just an example, different ones. Oh, this is the ever popular rainbow chalice, which I cannot make enough of these to keep in stock. And I don't have any right now. They're a pain in the butt. Because you have to paint each of these colors on three coats of each color of underglaze, and then it has a clear glaze on top. So it just takes forever. But people love them. And as soon as I have more, as soon as I put more on the website, they'll be gone. So I just found a young woman, a couple on the island and he's been making these chalices for me. I taught him how. I made a video during the pandemic. He practiced. And so now I have him making the actual forms and I just do the glaze. And because I really love experimenting with all the different kinds of glaze. See, stuff like this is called, well, officially hare's fur is a different, slightly different, but this is that style where the two kinds of glazes, just one on top of another, and they interact with each other and form these little rivulets and they're basically microcrystals in the glaze. This is what I'm working on right now. Whoops. This is a microcrystalline glaze. And so this is at a normal temperature. I just spray the glaze on. It's all one color when it goes on there. And then when it fires, the nature of the surface tension, the molecules, they will go and gather together and make these little microcrystallines. So and then the ground, the background color will be left. So, and this is just so interesting to me when they come out, like here's one that's like, I'm calling this one Starry Night. It's just such a gorgeous glaze. And then with the flame in it, it's beautiful. So if you look at my website now, almost all the chalices I have on my website are these microcrystalline glaze because that's what I'm playing with now. So I just play with what I want, put them online, people buy them. Sometimes if someone really wants a blue one or a pink one or something, or they'll show me a picture of one from the past, I have all those glazes still usually, so I can remake it. But if I have to do something special for someone, I charge more for that. I charge like 50% additional from what the charge was because I can't just do whatever I feel like doing. I have to stop my process and do what other people want, you know? Okay. I've also made these joys and sorrows things. Oops. Tried with other shapes, again, spraying glazes so that they move around. I was trying to make even bigger chalices because I basically, the the table chalices are about 7 inches wide. And I have to, because I'm a business person, I have it figured out all the shipping and all that business stuff. So they need to ship inside this size box in order for me to know the price of this shipping so that I can sell them. So I wanted to get bigger ones. So I started doing a regular chalice, then adding this, like a textured slab on, sticking it on here, like just joining it, you know? And so they got bigger and people loved them. I sold these. So they were much more substantial. But, you know, when you start getting too big, these chalices look like bird baths after a while, because they're just bigger and bigger and you can't fit them on a table, you know? So then I moved to, this is another one where I just tried to kind of change the shape to get it not so big. So then I started playing around with doing a boat shape, and that is the, you know, so that it's only 4 inches deep here, but then it's about 12, 14 inches tall. And so making them, there's all these joins, all these, you know, there's all these places where it can crack. I ended up making a mold of a basic form of this so that I can get the basic form out. And then I add things like, these are sprigs, they're called, where you, it's a very shallow mold and I can stick stuff glaze in there. And then I stick it on, you know, these leaves are all just stuck on and then glazed. And then this is another textured slab. It looks like wood on the bottom. And then I wrapped it around that, the basic form. These are shapes I made out of tar paper. First, I sat and cut out of newsprint these shapes and tried to tape them together and see if I could kind of get a shape. Then I made them out of tar paper where I can roll the tar paper out on a slab and then fold the tar paper up and get it to stick together. And then I later take the tar paper off. It's, you know, it's a technique, but I'm starting to get some different kinds of boat shapes. These are all sold. No, that one isn't, but here's that Chinoa glaze again that changes color. Here's our new UUA symbol, which, interesting, when it changed, it was in 2014, it changed. There's a lot of blowback about that symbol. Everyone likes the old symbol, you know, our original symbol. This was a big deal. They paid lots of money to have a consultant come in and look at all the things, and they... It's two U's. It's a U shape, and then there's a kind of a U shape in the middle, or maybe it's the indentation makes a U, but it's UU. They wanted to get that in and the flaming thing. So anyway, I started making this symbol on my chalices and nobody wants them. Nobody buys them. So there's a lot of resistance. This was one I made for a church in upstate New York that contacted me. They wanted a river flows through their town, and a river is the prime, you know, the heart of their town. And they wanted a river to figure prominently in their sanctuary chalice. So I did this, and I really love it, the way the little stones, the little pebbles, and then the river flowing through. So I think that came out pretty really. They were thrilled with it. I did another chalice for that I don't have a picture of right now. Sorry. I a hard drive of mine messed up, so there's a whole bunch of chalices that I can never see again. But I did one for Folan Church Society, which is the church in Massachusetts where Ralph Waldo Emerson preached. And it's a historic building. It's octagonal. It's an octagonal building. And then inside it's all wood. It's just really a beautiful, kind of feels like a yurt in there because it's kind of round. But they called me and I interviewed them. I asked them a lot of questions about their church. I had someone go in and take pictures of the grounds, the outside of the church, the inside of the church. And then I just thought about it for a little while and I made them this octagonal chalice that just was gorgeous. And it was just really great to think about Ralph Waldo Emerson. I started reading Ralph Waldo Emerson books while I was making his chalice, not his chalice, their chalice. And it's just a whole process of really immersing myself kind of remotely in the life of some other church and making something that will be adored and it will create sacred space for all these people, even the little chalices. I mean, I love that they're used. I mean, they're functional ware. They're not to drink out of, but, you know, when you light them, you're using them. And, you know, it changes the energy in the room when you light a chalice. So here's back to this picture. You can see this one here. Can you see my mouse when I roll around? I don't even know. Okay. So this is one that I started, that I made with the new UU symbol. I cut it out. I made it tall and I cut it out so it looks kind of like the UU symbol. They eventually sold. I made six of them, but I'll tell you, it took a long time. People just did not like them. So everyone wants the regular chalices. And then this boat shape, one of the things we're going to get to is Blue Boat Home, which is one of my favorite songs. Here's my cat Fiona, who's passed away now, but sitting among some chalices that I had just made. Okay, so I just thought I just have a couple more slides of what I'm doing now, because I make chalices are the only things I sell. I don't make mugs or bowls or anything. I used to do craft fairs. I used to do a lot of pottery kind of stuff, but now I just make chalices. I sell them online, so I don't ever have to go and drag my stuff to a fair or anything. But these are some, I'm really into geometry. I like the, you know, I'm into the science-y kind of stuff. So these are things I made now. These are icosahedrons, and they're 20 triangles stuck together, and they're kind of a bear to make, because if you press on one side, the other side gets wonky, and getting them to be completely round and perfect is really tough. So I made a few and realized how hard they were to make. And then I made a mold of that. And the making the mold is hard enough, because for slip casting, where you pour the wet clay into a plaster mold and then you break it open and then you have this object inside. So now I have a mold for this. And then I can just play around with carving on them and doing different things. They're called them garden gems. They're in the garden, all over my garden. In the winter, they take center stage and they're visible. And in the summer, they're all covered up and you can never see them. So they're little hidden gems. So I love making those. This is other just weird shapes that I did pit firing on. So that's like an atmospheric method. During the pandemic here, I made, I started on, it's not finished. I still have a pole left to do, but the garden totem, or I guess now I've been informed that we should call them garden stacks, that calling them a totem could be disrespectful to Indigenous people. So it is my garden stacks here. And so I'll keep working on them. You can see I had my COVID virus there that I made to commemorate the pandemic. Is another thing I made. This is I have four people now and a dog. Now I have like a weird pond thing that is not a pond anymore. I planted in it, but I made these people that sit around the pond and are sort of talking to each other. And so just really fun, just for me, just fun things. And I live right next to the dog park, next to the gravel pit where people walk. It's an off leash area. So people walk past all the time with their dog as on cue. Hold on. Come here. And they take pictures of my sculptures, which I am very flattered by. And if you think this is good and I'm so talented, this is who I learned from. Okay, Maria Michelson, she's an island artist. She's 30 years old. I think she's 33 now. And she teaches these life-size figure classes here on the island that are like a week long. So if anybody ever wants to take a life-size figure class, she does them in the summer usually, and come stay at my house and do them. I do them every year. They're so much fun. And look at this. I mean, she's amazing. So I am just a craftsman, and I like chemistry for my glazes, but I mean, I'm nothing like this. And if you want, I'm done now. If you want to see any more, there you go. So I did an interview for Pathos. I don't know if you guys know what that is. It's a website that covers all things religious. So he's an interesting fellow, and he writes various articles about various religious things. And it's actually a very interesting publication. So he contacted me one day and asked me if I would do an interview about making chalices and about the chalice and how they're made and how they're used. Because one of the questions I get from non-UUs all the time is, what do they do? Like, as though lighting it would like open a magic portal or, you know, have voodoo of some kind. And it's kind of like, no, they don't do anything. They're just to make us remember our values. So to me, I just feel like I've died and gone to heaven in terms of being able to do the thing I really am curious about, which is blaze chemistry. It has nothing to do with UUs or inclusiveness or our symbol. I love glaze chemistry. And the only way to do glaze chemistry is to make a whole bunch of stuff so that you can keep trying different things. And so this has just worked out so great that I love being a UU, even though we don't have a congregation here anymore on the island, but I can make chalices and I can practice all these different glazes on them and just put them on my website. Eventually, every one of them will get sold. And I just keep, it's just a rotating thing. If you looked at it last year, there's whole different chalices on my website than there are now, because it's just whatever I'm curious about at the minute. And, but I love being able, knowing that while I'm feeding and fueling my passion for chemistry, I'm also creating things that create sacred space that are important in people's lives. And I just love that. It's my ministry. It's my service. And I'm honored. Thank you.